Okay, Be'ezer Hashem, we are going to be focusing on Simen Pei Ches and beginning Simen Pei Tes today. But there's one more thing that's left in Simen Pei Zayin that's really a sugi b'fnei atzma, really is not directly connected to Simen Pei Zayin. But since it's a very, very important sugi in terms of Halacha L'maisa, we'll begin creating the lines, the shvilim, the roads, are necessary in terms of dealing with the sugya. That's the sugya of Achshavei. And Achshavei, Rav Miller Shlita discussed in the context of Simen Pei Zayin, Sif Zayin. So let's take a look. That's our last thing that we have left. The Mechaber writes, Hamvashel Shlil B'cholav Chai V'chein Ha'ochel Avovashel Shalya O'or V'gidim V'atzamos V'ikrei Kinaim U'tlofim Harakim Potter. So these items are not considered part of the behemah itself, as we've discussed previously, and therefore it's only an Isur Durabbanim. Now, this statement about Atzamos seems to assume that even though it's not Basar Min HaTorah, but it would sound like it is Basar on a level of Durabbanim. Sounds like it's a level of Durabbanim. The problem with that is the following. That is, that later on we're going to see, all the way in the beginning of Hilchos Taruvos, that we don't consider Atzamos being halachically significant at all. For example, in Simen Tzadi Tes, in the beginning of Simen Tzadi Tes, you have in Hilchos Taruvos, you have Chatichas Nevela Shiesh Ba Basar V'Atzamos. So you have Nevela that has meat and bones. So the Atzamos ha'isur mitstarfim im ha'heter. And this is what the Prima Gadim points out in the Sif Seidas Sif Katan Chaf Beis, that the halach in regards to Atzamos seems to be in Hilchos Taruvos, that the Atzamos is not even considered part of the Basar, even on a level of Derabbanan. It sounds like it's klum, it's mamish nothing, ad kidekach. But if you have Atzamos of Isur, the halacha is that the Atzamos of Isur are considered like the heter itself. Good? You follow that? Everybody here follow the problem? Yeah? Okay. So this is the difficulty that the Prima Gadim is dealing with. So the classic way that the Prima Gadim goes is based on the shach over there in Simen Tzadi Tes, and that is that there are bones and there are bones. There are bones that are rocking. There are bones that are moist, chewable, etc., etc. And those bones are considered meat. They're not meat d'oraisa, but they're going to be considered meat d'rabbanan. On the other hand, there are bones that are mamish yveshim, and that's what the Mechaber was talking about in Simen Tzadi Tes. And that is, if you take a look at the Prima Gadim, he quotes that Vitzidate, about five lines in to Sif Katan Chav Beis in the Sif Seidas, Vitzidate that Minchas Yaakov v'Hachmer v'Yislechem Yehuda, Hitter de lo machzikin on Isura. So I'll get to that case that he was discussing shortly. V'Minchas Yaakov kasav ba'atzamos harakin asurin. Ayin Tzadi Tes. So the Minchas Yaakov gives this shot, that the Minchas Yaakov says that if it's atzamos rakin, so then in Tzadi Tes, it would be Asur. Where we were talking about Atzamos Rakin over here in Pei Zayin. V'lo avinosi, dikan mashma, Atzamos HaKoshim nami Asur, b'asur b'chal midrabbanan. Says the Prima Gadim, I'm not so comfortable with that teretz. Because at the end of the day, here, it sounds like all Atzamos are still Asur midrabbanan. Not just Atzamos Rakin. According to the Minchas Yaakov's teretz, you have to say that Pei Zayin is only talking about Atzamos Rakim. By the way, it is interesting, as the Prima Gadim goes on to point out, the term Rakim is used in the Sif. It says, Gidim v'atzamos v'iker kinayim utlafayim harakim. So the Prima Gadim points out, what is the word Rakim going on? Is Rakim going on the hooves? That's the tlafayim. Or is it going on the atzamos, on the karnayim, etc. So this is what the Prima Gadim raises as a problem, and this is the Minchas Yaakov's way of dealing with this. This is going to come up in a shaila of where you find a bone inside of Basar V'Chalav. So Rav Miller said when he was discussing this, he said this happened in BMT 30 years ago. He said they were on a tuyul in Sfat, And they found in the porridge, in Sfat, crazy things happen in Sfat. They found in the porridge, they found a bone. So now, is that bone basar to make it basar v'chalav or not? So take a look at the top of the Prima Gadim. He discussed that shaila. There were some who were no to the chumra, some who were no to the kula. They began to check the bone. Does the bone still have marrow inside? Does the bone not have marrow? V'chule v'chule. At the end of the day, conceptually, it revolves around this question. Do you look at atzamos as being, if you say if it was atzamos yveshos, are atzamos yveshos bechlal the din of basar b'chalav or not? Do you have to assume that they were atzamos rakos? So the case that the similar case that would happen in Sfat that the Minchas Yaakov was discussing was actually they found a bone that was entirely hard, that had no marrow. And the shaila now was, did the marrow come out when they cooked the porridge or not? Do you have to assume that the marrow, so that gets involved with other areas of chazakas, etc., etc. Hayotze mitvareinu, it all starts with how you look at atzamos kashos. Do you look at atzamos kashos as being mufka from basar b'chalav entirely, and atzamos kashos being entirely not bechlal basar b'chalav? L'chatchila, I think the Prima Gadim's argument is very, very strong. At the end of the day, there really isn't mashmos, even though I saw Mickey nodding his head, he enjoyed that diuk of tlofim arakim, but at the end of the day, it doesn't say that it's rach, right? The Minchas Yaakov's ukimta in our Shulchan Aruch is a little bit shver, that there's no place that we have that I'm aware of that, you know, the diuk is a nice diuk, but at the end of the day, you don't have a place that's mefurish, that it says that the atzamos are only if it's rakim, and therefore, l'chatchila, one should be knowing that's possible b'chol d'rabbanan, even if it's atzamos yiveshos. Rav Miller shared with us an amazing chidush that explodes the sugya of achshavei that Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg developed to be miyashiv the stira. Again, there's a stira in Shulchan Aruch. In Sin Sadi Tes, we had that the halach is atzamos is nothing, and here atzamos is something. It's aser midrabbanan. So Rav Zalman Nechemya wanted to be miyashiv and say that there are two different cases that we're discussing. Over here, we're talking about ha-mivashel, someone who cooked. In that way, it's different than what took place in Sfat. In Sfat, people don't throw bones into their porridge. It fell in. It fell in. Here, they intentionally cooked it. Here, it sounds like for some reason they wanted to eat this concoction. However, what were we talking about in Simin Sadi Tes? There was clearly a case of taruvas, where you found the taruvas ex post facto. So then, in such a case, there might be a difference between the two. What's the difference? The sugya of achshavei. Sugya of achshavei we have in our booklets, in the original booklets, we have a rush in Simin Aleph, in the second parak of Psachim, and that's the case of chametz that has been burnt. If you have pas she'ipsha, that's a discussion, or even a pas that's karuch, that's been entirely burnt, so the rush raises the possibility. Even though it was entirely karuch, it was entirely burnt, nevertheless, the rush says, I'd like to find you the exact line in the rush. The rush says, the first word of the line is da'afalpi. Da'afalpi, six lines from the top in the Rush, Simin Aleph on the page of 248 in your grandfather's edition of the Rush. By the way, I'm attached to the old edition of the Gemaris because of the Rush and the Rav David, you sympathize with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not my grandfather's.
No, I'm saying it's their grandfather's. I want to point out to them that was the Gemara that their grandfather used. Six lines on the top in the Rush in the first column, they're the motzi mechavero. The afal pi, the batla dais ha'ochel eitzel kol adam, mikol makom kivan di'iu ka'ochele, even if the chametz is nifsal, even nifsal me'achilas kelev, possibly, kivan di'iu ka'ochele, aser, since he is eating it, it is aser. Now, I looked up the Rush, and I was taken aback, As far as the Rush, who's the famous Baal Memra, the Shita of Achshavei, does not use the term Achshavei. This is the source of Achshavei that we have in the Rishonim. But Rush is basically saying that the word Achshavei, of course, means Achshiv, I give it Chashivus. So if I prepare it and I eat it, so Rush says a massive Chiddush. Maybe not Aser Daraisa, here Mashma only Aser Midrabanan, but the Rush says that it becomes Aser Midrabanan even though batla daito, but there's a concept of akshavei, to take something that's nifsal and to decide that you want to eat it, boom. That could create el-chola pachos in Isur derabanan. The Taz, I believe, is the one who made that term famous, as far as I know. The Taz in Simin Tof Mem Bei Sif Ches in Hilchas Chametz quotes this Rush, and he uses this world-class term, and hence the Encyclopedia of Talmudis today. If you want to find it, you will find it, of course, on the term of Achshavei. So the Taz says that this is based on the concept of Achshavei, Ani Achshavei, I gave it Chashivus, and therefore it's going to be Aser. So it could very well be that this would be the Yishuv in the Stira of Atzmos. It's a Geshmakish Tikkul Torah. I want the Avrechim to pound it out, decide if they think it's correct or not. But the Geshmakish Tikkul Torah would be to say, it depends on what we're talking about in Pezayin versus Tzadites. Tzadites is talking about where there was a taruvus that fell in. There was no achshavei whatsoever. They don't want to eat basa b'chol in Sfat. So then in such a case, then of course, then the atzamos have no chashivas. But over here, you are mevashel the atzamos to eat it with chalav. So then in such a case, then it's going to be asur midrabana. And then, to add a beautiful angle to this pshat, there is a very difficult machlokis rishonim that's hard to understand. We keep on making subtle references to Simen Pei Aleph. We keep on coming back to a few things in Simen Pei Aleph. So in Simen Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph, we have examples of Dvarim Hayotzim Min Ha'asur, or Dvarim Hayotzim Min Atame, Dvarim Yotzim Min Achai, referred to in different ways in the rishonim. So if you take a look, most of you have it in your Shulchan Aruch, right? Pei Aleph. I asked around, I got that the green does, I didn't realize, I'm sorry, that the behir doesn't. That was the reason I didn't photocopy, because I asked a fellow who had the green Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so just bear along with me, I'll read slowly. The Mechaber says, Cholav behema v'chayet meya, if you have cholav behema, o treifa, utzira, and it's gravy, or it's liquid, umei ragleha, and it's urine. Asura kibisara. This is a very, very, very important klal, that even though the item is not a food item, nevertheless there's an isur midrabanan called hayotzei min asur, sometimes even asur min haTorah. Hayotzei min asur is asur. So here we say, asura kibisara. It's asur like it's meat. V'yesh misha matir b'mei ragla. And there are some who say that the urine is okay. Okay, now, obviously, this is really strange, who's consuming urine. So we'll get to that in a moment. The Shach says in Sifkaton Beis that there was a drink, a medicinal concoction called Yarkona. And the Rambam expressly writes, the Yeshmi Shematir is the Rambam, as you have in the parentheses of many of your Shulchan Aruch, Perek Dalet Halacha Chaf. The Rambam says that the halacha is that it's mutter. The Rosh holds that it's Aser. What's the Rambam's Svara? Very simple. The Rambam says that's Parush, a term that we've used already in the past, and that is that this is disgusting. This is not Oichel. It's not even considered Ayotzei Min Aser. That's a Shitas HaRambam. The Rosh, though, holds no, that this medicine, that they somehow extracted some type of nutritional or medicinal value from the urine itself. By the way, just a little bit of Metzius. This part of Metzius I got down. Rooster and hen I mix up, but this part of Metzius I get down. Just to know that urine, the initial stage of urine is, we have, Rav Tzvi's not here, so Rav Yosef will help us out. The initial stage of urine is actually poisonous. What comes out from the beginning of the urine is toxic, but afterwards is basically water. So there, obviously then they made sure to remove the toxic components from the urine, and they thought for that there was something in the urine that would be helpful. Okay, so that was the Yarkon is. What error they made or what it was based on, that I don't know. But either way, this is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Shulchan. So what type of machlokus is this? The Rosh holds that's not disgusting? obviously they're only using it for whatever chemicals or nutrition there is, whatever it might be that's inside. So Zalman Nechemi Goldberg explained beautifully that the Rambam and Rush are l'shitasam, that the Rush is the Baal Memra of the Shita of Achshavei. So what does the Rush say? The Rush says that even when it comes to medicine, if you want it, you are Machshavit, what the rest of the world finds disgusting, Achshavei. So then in such a case, it's going to be Aser. The Rambam, we don't find any place, or Zalman Nechemi claimed, that the Rambam uses the concept of Achshavei. So this would be a machlokis rishonim, and this gets very much into halacha lemaisa about medications in regards to kashrus in general. As I said, we're not going to solve the issue of kashrus and medications right now, but it could very well be, as the poskim discuss, is achshavei a relevant factor in terms of medication? You could argue, based on, if you take a look in the Shach and Sifkatan Beis over there in Pei Aleph, where the Shach seems to say that the crux of the issue was that they were taking something that was medicinal, and the Rosh is concerned. The Rosh says, well, you are Makshavit, so therefore it's going to consider Yotzim and Aser. The Rambam doesn't take that into account, because the Rambam doesn't go with Achshavei. So the Rosh holds the sheet of Achshavei, not only Rezalman Ephemia Shlita wanted to argue, not only in regards to chametz that has been burnt, and you decide that you like burnt chametz, even though the rest of the world doesn't, but even in regards to something that's entirely Parush, but is something that you are machshiv. And Ara Yom Hazeh, this is the way Rav Zalman Nechemiah was quoted by Rav Miller. By the way, Rav Miller learned Isser Hetter from Rav Zalman Nechemiah. So Rav Zalman Nechemiah concluded that the issue of whether you need hashkachos for medicines on Pesach that have chametz might revolve around this question. Even if you say that it's nifsal mei achilas kelev, it could be, according to the Rush, it's problematic. So it could be all these lists are dependent of that. Now, coming back to our yeshiva in New York, when I asked Rav Schechter Shlita this question, so he answered about medicines on chametz and Pesach, so he said the whole lists are dependent on another machlekes. It's a machlekes between the Chavis Das and the Chazon Ish in Simen Kuf Gimel by Nosein Tam Lefkan. We are going to get there, Be'ezer Hashem. I won't share it with you now. Stay tuned. But but that has nothing to do with sugya of achshavei. That's a totally separate issue. So Zalman Nechemi Goldberg says whether you need to be makdur on all of these lists are totally in this question. It could very well be that there might be another reason to be machmir outside of the sugya of achshavei. Even if you don't hold of achshavei, it could still be problematic. But that I'll only share with you when we get to the sugya of nosein tam lefkan. But assuming that it's a nifsal me'achilas kelev, it would seem that according to the Rambam, once it's nifsal gamri, boom, and you're out. While according to the Rush, then you have the chash. A beautiful, cheerful sugya, fascinating question. Zalman Nechemi's fascinating teretz to be mufalpal in the base medrash of the stira that the Prima Gadim was discussing. As the Avrechim at the time, challenger Miller, the Prima Gadim makes no reference to this whole shtickle Torah. The Prima Gadim knew all of this. So the Prima Gadim doesn't take it in Rav Zalman Nechemia's direction. So the question is why? What exactly is the sheet of the Prima Gadim over here? But as a Lamda Sheteretz, it's definitely a beautiful Lamda Sheteretz, and it will be wrong for us to go through Yisr V'Heter without making reference to this very, very important sugya, which might be that Machlokis Rishonim, and this the Rush that everybody's got to know in the beginning of the second Perek of Pesachim. Yes, Yosef?
Why is that Shkacha thing limited? Why is that limited to like Pesach?
Yeah, it would apply all instances. The reason it's in my head about Pesach is because Pesach might have another variable as well, but there might be another reason to be machmir based on the Chavis Das. That's where it's in my head.
For this reason, it should be machmir.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct, and it would apply in all instances. Now, of course, I don't want to discuss medications. I'm not, once you get into these details, you got to be someone who's like really holding in the mitzius in the kashrus organizations. But of course, you're probably familiar that Rav Belsky argued you could be make on achshavei, you could be make with the chavis das, v'chulei. But at the end of the day, a lot of the medications now really taste good. You don't even need achshavei. So that's going to be, I'm not talking about pills, I'm talking about the cough syrups and so on and so forth. So Rav Belsky said, be make on all the shitas, but at the end of the day, he thought that they weren't even nifsal at all. They weren't like Mei Raglayim. Yarkona, you could be Meikil. The Rambam is Meikil. The Shulchan Aruch, the Pashtus, Shulchan Aruch is Meikil. You could argue. Vrublevsky was concerned that even if you're going to take the most makel position, but you would still need a hashgacha on some medications. That in Mirtzah Hashem we'll discuss down the line, but I'll take one more point.
And then, so if you make it, the cough medicine not taste good?
Oh, that gets involved. Take a look at the Chavis Das and Sim Kuf Gimel. Take a look, Sif Katan Aleph. That's a big question. It has to do with how you read a Rambam. There's a wild, crazy place about Nosin Tan Lufkan. What did the place he say? What did he not say? So Mirtzah Hashem, coming attractions. We got to get there. Okay. So let's Be'ezer Hashem begin. Simin Pei Ches. Okay. The Mishnah on Kuv Dalid on the base. Tells us the following. Ha'of ola im hagvina ala shulchan ve'ina necha. Divrei Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel omrim lo ola ve'lo necha. So Beis Hillel says there's an isra halah even with basar of b'chalav. Whoa. Why should there be an isra Ha'alah with Basar of Bechalav? Isn't Basar of Bechalav only Derabhanan? Rov Rishonim? So Talmidim were coming over to me. Who was it? Jacob and Shmuel. They were arguing. They thought you read the Gemara. The Pashtus is like Tosos. That really Basar of Bechalav and Pashtus is a Doraisa. Okay, but we saw that the world assumes that Tosos is a Das Yachid. The Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph repeats itself. The Mishnah has an obsession with Of. It's interesting. In Kala Basar, especially if Of is only Durabana, the Mishnah is constantly talking about Basar Of Bechalav, not talking about Basar Bechalav, which is very interesting. The Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph says, Hama'ale Esa Of Imagvina Ala Shulchan Eina Over Below Saseh. If you do Allah, you're not over Hanalav. Not talking about eating or cooking. So Gemara immediately asks, what? Is this a Beferish Mishnah that Basar Of Bechalav is Daraisa? So Gemara says, no. Ain't a bali de lo sase. You won't come to it. You'll never come to lo sase. So it's an interesting point that the Mishnayos sound like that Basar Of Bechalav is a real problem. Ad kedei kach that according to Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to be ma'ala to the point that the Gemara thought that had a hava mina to read simple way of reading the Mishnah is you're not over lo sase if you do halah, but if you cook them together, it would be an isur daraisa. Another raya to Lahagdil Torah Ladir, to what Shmuel and Jacob wanted to say about the mashmos of some of the sugyas being that Basar Of Bechalav is daraisa. However, most Rishonim did not learn that way, but they point out that what we have over here is not only an isra ha'ala'a of Basar Bechalav, but there also is, you're not allowed to put on the same table Basar Of Bechalav as well. That, of course, brings the Taz to the following question. Let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, see it codified in Shulchan Aruch. Hence the Afilu Basar Chayiv Of, Asa La'alos Al Shulchan, Shulchan Lavvina, Shelo Yavo La'achlam Yachad. That you shouldn't come to eat them together. Avol B'Shulchan, Shesudar Alav Tavshel Mutan Litan Zeh B'Tzad Zeh. If you have a buffet, then there isn't an Isur. However, if you're eating, because then you're just taking food, you're not sitting and eating together, so then the Isser is only when you are eating. Now, whether we're talking about Basar Of Bechalav, whether we're talking about Basar Bechalav, either way the Taz's point is a valid point. Now, if we're talking about Basar Of Bechalav, then you've got you're three steps away from the Isser Doraisa. If you're talking about Basar Of Bechalav, points out the Taz, even if you come to eat it together, right? So then, okay, you ate it together. That in itself is not an Isur D'oraisa, even if it was Basar B'chalav. Eating it together, says the Taz, V'afal pi d'kisha ochlam yachad nami lek Isur D'oraisa, she'ein Isur el dafka derech bishul yachad. So I just want to add, then if it's Basar Of B'chalav, then, so it's Asur is that you might do halah, then you might come to eat. Even eating itself is not the Yisr, it's only Bishul, you might come to cook, then you might come to cook Basar Bechalav. So this is, I don't know, is it three steps removed, four steps removed? It's quite removed already from the chash of the Isser Daraisa. So the Taz points out that even by Basar B'chalav, where it's twice removed, because even if you eat it, it's not an Isser Daraisa. That the Gemara says that we make one gzera. So this is alluded to in the Gemara. It's not as explicit as the way the Taz says it. The Gemara doesn't say mamish, that's kula chada gzera, but the Gemara is clear that this was all part of the harchakos that were done for basar b'chalav. Miller Shlita made a very, very nice point that, and this could be used universally, I think it's important to use this universally as well, that the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayis on the Isser of Hatmana. Hatmana is a gzera midrabanan. So Rambam's also bothered that over there it should also be a gzera l'gzera. And the Rambam gives an important yesod of when do we say kula chad gzera and when do we say ein gozrin gzera l'gzera. It's an important maramakam. The Rambam says that if it was all part of the initial takana, so then it's not considered gzera l'gzera. So for example, if Chazal made a takana, we don't want people to cook meat and milk together, and we don't want people to eat meat and milk that has been cooked together, Chazal can make as many gzeras they want, and that is all considered kula chada gzera if it's made, the Rambam says, at the same period of time. In other words, Chazal came along and they said, because of this issue of basar b'chalav, that's mamish basar b'chalav, we're going to prohibit you from eating it, and you're not allowed to have it on the same table. In other words, there weren't two separate historical gzeras. The Rambam emphasizes that if it was all part of one period of time, then that's not called gzera l'gzera. So it could very well be that that's the pshat over here. If you take a look at the Gemara that speaks about halah, if you take a look at these Gemaras on daf kuf dalet and kuf hey, so then you'll see that it's all part of the same takana, and since it was part of the same takana, that's considered chada gzera. That's one way of explaining it. Another way of explaining it is that Tosas and Brachas on Nun Gimel says that Kula Chad Gzera Tosas seems to be even more broader than the Rambam. And that is that whenever the second Gzera was there to buttress the first Gzera, then it's all considered part of the first Gzera. In other words, if you have an instance where you have two distinct reasons that a person's going to come to eat Basar B'chalav, two totally disparate concerns. So then in such a case, then that is another, if there was a previous gzeira, so then you have a gzeira that's al-gabe gzeira. But what happens if the original gzeira was that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav? So now they say, wait a second, part of that we now see to buttress that first gzeira of people eating basar b'chalav is an isra of halah. We also don't want you to do it to have the two together. So Tosa seems to say that when the second gzeira is there to protect the first gzeira, it's within the first gzeira itself, it's just expanding the first gzeira, Tosa's mechadesh, that's kula chada gzeira. My topic for today is not kula chada gzeira, is not ein gozrin gzeira gzeira, but just to appreciate what's going on here, yes, the tremendous chidush that Chazal have over here, the tremendous expansion of the gzeiras of basar b'chalav, is something that needs to be emphasized. This is a Masorah to this day, that it's a strong, strong tradition that we have, even though I once heard in the name of a Talmud Chacham who learned here in the Kollel, that he said that it's almost impossible today to have real Shailas of Basar B'chalav in a kitchen, because you need Derech Bishul, v'chule. You generally don't have it. But the Minig Yisrael has always been to be very makbid to have Basar and Chalav separately. Rav Chizkiyahu Nevinzal told me that his father would get very, very uptight if there was ever a Chalav on the Basar side. And it's not his personality in general. But it seems to be a Minig Yisrael to this Kula Chada Gzeira, if you will, how you expand it, obviously, is follows Shulchan Aruch. But at the end of the day, there is something that could be connected to in Yonim of Sod as well. But there's definitely, we see within the Takanas of Chazal, this idea of hakpada of basar b'chalav. Okay, so this is the Isser Allah, that's just an introduction. The Rambam is the Pirush HaMishnayis, the beginning of the fourth parak of Shabbos, by the Isser HaTmana. By the Isser of HaTmana. Okay, so let's get into nitty gritty over here. So the Mechaber had told us, basar of b'chalav is going to be a problem. Now, in the world of theory, one could say that not only should there be a problem of halal when it comes to basar b'chalav, but you should also say that there would be a problem with every type of isr. So the Talmidim saw that this is the Shach in Sifkat and Beis, and the Shach has a fascinating deal. The Shach points out that we don't find the isr halal when it comes to other things. We don't find the isr halal when it comes to nevelos and stuff like that, which actually brings out quite a kula. And that is that there's really no problem, ikur d'dina, for a Jewish shomer mitzvahs to eat with his Gentile colleague at a table where he's eating macholos asuras, which is interesting. So what's the pshat behind that? So the Shach explains beautifully. The Shach says, most macholos asuras. The Shach says that the explanation is basic, and that is, when it comes to basar b'chalav, then Jews are not necessarily, are not naturally bedilim minei. There's some people, B'nai Torah, that they pass by a treif restaurant and so on. They become naturally queasy. In other words, it's just something that is something they find they're very, very uncomfortable with. So therefore, the Shach says the gzera wasn't made for those things that was natural for a Jew to be bedilim minei. Those things that it's not natural for him to be brought towards. So then, in such a case, so you don't have the chash. Hence, when it comes to all macholos asuras, we could be making with two exceptions. What are the Shach's two exceptions? Shach says, number one, chametz on Pesach. That makes sense because chametz is mutar to us the rest of the year. And the other exception, he says, is lechem. That's not kosher. Why? He says, because al lechem yichya ha'adam. So then, in such a case, when it comes to lechem shel isur, he claims not only lechem on Pesach, but lechem shel isur will also be problematic, as discussed in Simin Kuf Yud Dalet. So that becomes a little bit of a question. At the end of the day, if lechem shel isur is going to be problematic, then many, many times a guy will be eating lechem. So Mirtz Hashem, we will try to get to that. We'll try to get to Mirtz Hashem at the end of the year. But he does conclude. Let me just read you his words inside. This is towards the end of the Shach. Meaning so how we paskin on that Shaila, we're going to have to deal with later on. But the Shach concludes, which does create a problem with the colleagues, because a lot of the time they will be eating bread. But so that's going to get involved, obviously, with paspalter and stuff like that. That's beyond our scope for right now. Yes, Jacob?
If I heard you correctly, you mentioned the comments, the reason also is because the mm-hmm. in the same way.
Right.
I was actually also surprised that the Shach doesn't. I thought he said something else. He said,
He does seem to quote that later when he quotes the Archas Chaim. I thought he was introducing this Svara as well. Of Alechem, Lo Alechem. You're 100% right.
Yeah, right.
So he mentions both Svaras. I mentioned the second one, you mentioned the first.
Okay.
But so some Rishonim emphasized the Yisra Mashu and some Rishonim emphasized Kilo al Alechem. But you're right, Jacob. I didn't mention that other reason. Yes, Chesky.
Not to be in Lamed Chol and other Jews,
right.
But at least from where I come from, there are a lot of people that do eat Machalas
Asuras. A lot of Jews who eat Machalas Asuras.
So what does it follow the robe? Does it follow...
I think the halacha is assuming that if we're talking to someone who's following the chshash of Chazal, which is kadosh, that's so rachok that these people are not nichshalim in real macholos asuras. So the halacha is speaking to those individuals. Chas v'chalila, people who are nichshalim macholos asuras, that would be a different einachanami. It's a little bit of a different issue. But I think the first thing they need to do is take care of the macholos asuras, not to worry about the isra halacha. That's the first step. But in Echanami, it's the assumption is that, yeah.
Does the bread take over the bedilim? I think it's eating like a pork sandwich.
Yesh la'ayin. The pashtus is that he's holding that bread is aser. I didn't follow nuance of what you're asking. You're asking that since the Jew is bedilim inay, because it's mamish a pork sandwich, so the Jew is the pig is maus. So once the pig is maus, then the lechem is maus. I like that svara. I think there's a lot of room to use that svara. But we got to look into kuf yudal more to get to the bottom. Yeah, binyam. No, let's leave it. We'll wait for kuf yudal. Yeah. Yeah.
The Shach seems to think there's no nafkamina between the two svaras for why bread be aser.
Mm-hmm.
It seems thinking if it's like the Rashba that it's that chametz is chamer, so then even if you're on separate placemats,
Nachon,
or separate whatevers, but if you don't hold your like everyone, like he says, and like everyone, even our time has to hold that it's the lechem yichir adam. So, but otherwise it'll be mutter if you have
Nachon
separate place. So how does he? Well, how's
he
come out when it's gone?
I thought he was the Arches Chaim side, because he concluded Asal Halos Lechem Shel Iser. So it sounds like in all instances.
Well, even,
right, because that's just chametz. That's what I think.
But chametz would be more. It would still be more chametz than regular bread.
Yes, there's more. There's another tzad to be more machmer. Correct. Correct. So this is the Shach Tov. Now, the Placey has a brilliant, brilliant ha'ara. Kedarko the Kodesh. We're going to see that the Rebbe of Yonason is always fantastic. The issue is as follows. The issue with the Isser of Hala'a, what exactly is the Chshash? What exactly was the Chshash? If you take a look on the Gemara Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, we mentioned that there's a Mishnah. So actually, right above that Mishnah, the Mishnah asks, well, what exactly is your concern of Basar B'chalav? Maskev L'Rav Sheshes, this is 10 lines from the top on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Maskev L'Rav Sheshes, Sof Sof, Tzonein B'Tzoneinu. It's Tzonein B'Tzonein. Amar Abaye, Gzeira Shem Yala Bilfis Roseach. So Abaye learns that this is not Gzeira L'Gzeira. Abaye learns that the Chshash over here is that you're going to come to cook the two together. So argues the Placey that there were really two strains of Amoraim. There were some Amoraim who said that the Chshash was that you'll come to be Mavashel, the two together. That was the Isra Halah. And according to that, then there's not two gzeros. It's one gzera. And the place he argues, it follows the shita of Rav Yosef, who's of the opinion that Basar Olf Bechalov is Doraisa. Take a look, it's in our booklet, the first booklet, right after the Gemara, Kuf Yigimel Amud Aleph. If you take a look at the place, it's on the bottom of page 10. He points out, Shelo yovel achlam yachad, v'chein u'loshon Rambam, va'af al gav de b'gemara nemar shema yela b'ilfis roseach, kli rishon. Yesh lomar, so the Gemara seems to say a different reason, it's not one big zera. Yesh lomar, da Rambam svirle de kol zelo Rav Yosef, de diek b'basa b'chol avdo araisa, dim lo kein avig zera l'gzera. So these shitas are held that it was a problem l'gzera if it was not bishul. However, so then in such a case, argues the Placey, then we get into the problem of kula chada gzera. So every word in the Shulchan Aruch is meduyak. The words of the Shulchan Aruch are also lahalos al shulchan she'ochel av gvina shelo yavo la'achlam, that you won't come to eat them together. So, if this was Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yosef, they wouldn't say Shelo Yavo La'achlam. The Gemara already says it's Shema Yala B'ilfis Roseach. However, since we paskin that Basar Olf V'Cholav is the Rabbanan, and the Yisrael law clearly applies to Basar Olf, because we see from the two Mishnayos that we read previously, so then we have to say that the Chshash over here is not a Chshash of Bishul, but rather is a totally different chshash. That is the Placey's fascinating argument. And then we can understand the next words of the Shulchan Aruch as well. Avol b'shulchan shesudar alav atavshil. The shulchan shesudar alav atavshil. So now, at a buffet, I remember at fancy American weddings, at the buffet, they're sometimes even cooking at the buffet itself, right? In restaurants and so on. So there should be a chash of Shema Yaleh. But the point over here is that now this is a new gzeira. This is a new gzeira, which is Shema Yavo L'achlo. So on the buffet itself, you might have the chash of Bishul, but you won't have the chash of Achila. Either way, let's get back to the Halacha L'maisa. By the way, the Chachmas Adam does mention both Svaras. The Chachmas Adam, which is surprising for me, because generally the Chachmas Adam follows the Halacha, but the Chachmas Adam in Mem Yud Aleph writes the following. He says, what's the Chash of Halah? Shepa'amim yatem miseder ha'shulchan sheitztarech lalas ha'shulchan lezeh basal lezeh gvina v'yaniach ha'gvina bos ilfes roseach shemunach ba'amatzar v'nimtza dinespashul yachad vasem in ha'torah u'lechein gozru chazal da'asa lahalas ha'shulchan. So the Chachmas Adam mentions the original reason of the Gemara. He says, u'mash yekasa b'shulchan ha'ar shi'ov ha'yacham ayim betaz. So the Chachmas Adam is not happy with our pshat of Kula Chada Gzeira of the Taz, and therefore he goes with the original pshat, even though he concedes that at the end of the day, by Basar Gvina, Basar Of with Gvina, it's going to be problematic because it's not going to be an Isur D'Oraisa LaHalacha. So a place he claims that it said the Chash Abishal, that was according to Man Damar Hol's Basar Of B'chol of his D'Oraisa. But the Shulchan Aruch, it's not going to work. And the Chachmas Adam says, well, you got to just fudge it and say that even though Basar Of B'chalav is only going to be the Rabbanan, nevertheless, that's the original Shash of Gemara is what stands. While we point out that the Shulchan Aruch is not the way it's presented in Gemara, not like the way that it's presented in the Chachmas Adam. It's a Shash Shema Yavu L'Achla, and that Shema Yavu L'Achla could be 3 times removed, 4 times removed. It could be all part of the Chadig Zer. Okay, let's begin Siv Beis. Hod asal alos al shulchan dafka b'shnei b'nei adam hamakirim zezeh. This iser only applies with people who know each other. Afilu heim makbidim zezeh. Even if each one of them is makbid on the other. So some of the talmidim were confused. How do you have people who are makirim zezeh yet at the same time makbidim zezeh? What does that mean? So. Rashi tells us that makbidim means that we are careful not, we generally don't feel so comfortable enough to share off of each other's plate. Okay? To share off of each other's plate. That's the mashmos of Rashi from the Mishnah on Daf Kuv Zayin. That's what makbidim zelzeh means. Afilu makbidim zelzeh, even though we wouldn't share with each other from the plate, nevertheless, even though we went through that, nevertheless we have a chash. Why? Because sometimes it's not only food that's on the plate, sometimes there's a serving dish, etc., etc. So the halach is as follows. If you don't recognize the people at all, so that you don't know the people at all, ain't a makirim zezeh, so then in such a case you're not going to have a chash that you're going to share with one another. So then you're allowed to eat next to somebody, for example, sitting on a plane. So presumably, you know, you're not going to get to know that person so well. So then in such a case, even Lu Yitzuyer would be Shulchan Echad, nevertheless, that would qualify not only as Makbidim Zezeh, but Eina Makirim Zezeh. So comes along the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says, but once you're Makir Zezeh, then it's going to be problematic. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, Avach Sinam, Shein Makirim Zezeh, Mutter, but people who are traveling, our example, it's mutter. Fafil ha-makirim. And then we have the famous heter. Im asu shum heker kagon shekol echad ochal al-mapa shalo. Or afilu ochal al-mapa achas v'nosnim b'neim pas lekeira mutter. So if they know each other, then a heker will be helpful. Now notice the case of the mechaber. What is his example of a heker? His example of heker is nosnim pas. That even bread, even food, would be acceptable to put between them. So the Ramah immediately points out that it has to be a piece of bread that they're not eating from. The moment in which the piece of bread, they're eating from it, so then in such a case, that would qualify as not a heker. It's part of the ochel of the Suda. V'dafke shein ochlin min ha'pas ha'munach b'neim la'kera. Avon ochlin mimenu lo have heker. Now what comes out here is a very important point, and that is I was under the impression when I was young that the only thing that could serve as a heker is something that's strange, is something that is out of the blue. It will definitely remind you. Something that's normal on the table, that wouldn't qualify. Not so true. Even if it's something that is normal to be on the table, as long as they're not partaking in it, then that would be acceptable. We learned Hilchas Nida. We said over there, Rav Nevinsal Shlita is of the opinion that this comes up in Hilchas Nida. Sometimes the wife would be uncomfortable to put something strange on the table, especially if you hold that you need a heker when there are guests, and we'll discuss shortly that sugya. But so maybe then, to put something out of the ordinary, so she might be uncomfortable with that. So Rav Nevinsal has the following chap in Hilchos Nida, the following Eitzah, and that is to have special salt shakers for when she's a Nida to be a heker. So you don't need something that is obtuse. As long as it's clear that the item is a heker, so then in such a case, for these individuals, this will serve as a heker as well, also in terms of basar b'chalav. Continues the Ramah, avolim nasnu b'neim kli sheshosim imenu, u'belav achi ein darko lios ala shulchan ha've heker, afal pi sheshosim imenu kli. What if it's an item that's normally not on the table? Interesting, about the etiquette of those times. At those times, they did not have it's hard to imagine this, but they didn't have drinks on the table. They would drink entirely after the meal. In Shulchan Aruch and Chelek Beis and Mishneh Berurah, that's what it seems was common. They would drink after the meal. So therefore, a pitcher in those days would not be a problem, even if they're drinking from the kli. So notice what the Ramah has done. A, something that's normal on the table, like bread, but they're not eating from it, or something that's not normal on the table, even if they're eating from it or drinking from it, will be acceptable. The kol shekeinim nasun sham menorah, for example, also if they put on a candelabra, the Shach quickly points out that that's only if the candelabra doesn't normally sit on the table, but if it's a candelabra that's sitting on the table, then it would not serve as a heker. O shar dvarim shal shulchan dahave heker. That would qualify as heker. There's a question before? Good? Okay. So this is the basic rules as far as the heker is concerned. Now, the Pischei Tshuva raises an interesting question over here. He quotes from the Bach in the name of the Marashal, in Sifkot and Gimel. So cause the Bach B'Shem Marashal to be Yoshvim Rechokim Zeb Mizeb. What happens if they're sitting very far from each other? In other words, they're on a long table. So you don't need only a heker. Even if they're far away from each other, nevertheless, that will be enough. Because the chash is that we will easily go to eat from one's bus or one's chalav. So says the Pischei Tshuva, if they're quite a distance from each other, then that's going to be mutter. That's a very, very important heter. This non-heker heter, you don't even need a heker if the two are far away from each other. This is halacha lemaisa. Then that is going to be enough. What about the following shaila? What about if you're by yourself and you're eating meat, but there's milk on the other side of the table, but it's not within reaching distance? You'll have to get up to get at the milk. So that's a very, very fascinating open question. My Rabbeim didn't give me any Mar Mekomos that directly dealt with that question, but Rav Miller connected it to another issue about someone who's eating by himself. Rabbi Akiva Eiger in Sifkot and Aleph talks about the following. He says, what happens if there's no one that's sitting with you and you want to put a shomer? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, "V'lo mahani etzlo shomer." So you're eating, your friend's sitting next to you, you're in the Beis Medrash, and you're eating, and there's chalav right next to you. But your friend is learning right next to you as well, and you say, "You be my shomer." It's easier than, for whatever reason, moving the chalav. So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, a shomer doesn't work. A shomer doesn't work. You need a heker, or you need some type of distance between the people. A shomer doesn't work. It would follow that according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, a heker is not enough when you have one person. And the reason for that is very, very simple. And that is, it's a lot easier for Reuven by himself, when he's eating basar, to forget and to nibble at something that's chalav without even realizing it, than if he's got to take it from Shimon. When Shimon is eating it, so Shimon might also remind him. But it seems from Rabbi Akiva Eiger, even a shomer doesn't work. Kavuchomer of Miller argued a heker would not work as well. Rebbe Zal Shlita thought that that was very much mistaber, that understanding of the math, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If so, so we can come back to the previous shiloh, and that is where Miller suggested that the following chakira: how do you look at a long table? What's the pshat in the heter that we saw? That if they're at a long table, you don't need a heker. Is the pshat that it's considered two shulchanos? What's shulchan echad? Shulchan echad is that it's close enough that you can reach. It's like our tables that we're sitting by right now. So imagine, this is a great example. Here we have two tables, right? Is it two tables al pi halacha because it happens to be that each set has four legs? Or is it? Could it be that even if it would be long, according to halacha, and one set of four legs, but the other one is all the way on the other side, then halachically it's considered a separate shulchan. Ma davar doma. Let's talk another halacha lemaisa example, where we have another halacha lemaisa application. That is, if one person is sitting on the eating on a mat, another is eating on a table. That's also mutter. The post can discuss over here on the page. Why? Because it's a different shulchan. So it's considered a different shulchan. You don't even need two mats. As long as you have one person on a mat and another person on the table, then that's going to be fine as well. So now, how do you look at a long shulchan? Do you say it's considered, al pi halacha, two different shulchanos? Or do you say that that already qualifies as a heker? If I need to get up to get it, then that in itself is a heker. Yesh lachkar. L'may nafkamina. The nafkamina is going to be what happens if you're by yourself. If you hold that it's considered a heker, what did we say? A heker by one person doesn't work. But if you say you consider it as two shulchanos, so then it's not the Yisra of Halah altogether. It's a beautiful Torah that Rav Miller said, that Yesh La'ayin, I'm not aware of the poskim that discusses, but Yesh La'ayin. Halach L'maisa, what to do? Rav Miller concluded, I'm not sure about this question. All right, so that's in regards to as far as that's concerned. Now the Be'er Heitev raises quite a chumrah. One of the Avrichim teases me that he likes chumras, so he knows who he is. So this is one for him. Take a look at the Be'er Heitev in Sifkotan Beis. Be'Beis Yaakov in the parentheses. Be'Beis Yaakov Hitir. L'Yisrael leishev etzel goy ha'echol ochol treifus, d'lo chashin shem yoshed lo lachshila. So Beis Yaakov says that when it comes to a goy, it's going to be mutter. That we already saw as a shach, that the goy is eating treifus is no problem. By the way, there are two reasons to be matter. Number one, we never saw the chumrah by treifus. Number two is it could be the goy, Zeinu Makiro, it's also going to be mutter. By the way, there are good goyim as well. So there's a guy that you know, your colleague at work, and you have a good relationship, then it's considered makira, that wouldn't qualify. Ah! And here there's a question of the correct digduk, but it seems like the later editions got it right. Ach misha achol basar, asa leisha veitzel misha achol gvina, ki yesh lachush miachad makira achol gvina, lo yodad achol basar v'yoshad lo v'yochal. Ooh. This is a chumrah that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch, which is a massive chumrah. And that is, maybe once you're fleishix, you can't sit down next to somebody who's eating milchix because you might take some of his milchix. Mamash shachumra. This happens all the time, right? You go visit somebody in Shabbos, you're fleishix, they're eating milchix, let's come sit down. They're mamash eating milchix and you can't sit down. Beis Yaakov has such a tzad. It exists on the books. Says the Pischei Tshuva, this is why. Says the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkat and Dalit from the Prima Godim, Va'ayim Prima Godim, Shekosav, Loiri, Isin, Isarim, Bazet. So I didn't see people are makbid for it. Let's not make up new chumras. The Gemara is meduyik. The Shulchan Aruch is meduyik. This was never part of one of their chumras.
You're talking about what the pshat is, no?
What's that?
If the pshat is bishul, then we shouldn't.
Absolutely. In other words, al pi dina de Gemara. Your eitzah is actually hurting us. In other words, the Gemara didn't mention it because what was the simple reading of the Gemara that they might come to cook together? Nowadays, everything's open. You know, it gives room for the machmirim. Nowadays, that the chashash is that you might come to eat. So that's why it's not mentioned in Gemara. And the Shulchan Aruch, okay. Why was it mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch? The answer to that might have to do with the sociology of eating. My wife, may she be well, is a nutritionist. And she says 3/4 of all the issues of dieting and so on goes to the sociology of eating, how people eat. The way people eat today is totally different than the way they ate 100 years ago, Kavachomer 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. My father, may he be well, says that my father grew up in Western Canada in the 30s and 40s. Says there was my grandmother, La Shalom, had 3 meals, and that's when you ate. You didn't eat any other time. And the meals started at 6 o'clock sharply. There was supper at that time. And if you missed it, then there was no supper. Not as an onish. It was just, that was the sociology of eating. That's the way people ate. The idea of nibbling, etc., that's all a function of television and marketing, v'chule. So it could be, along the lines of what you're saying, Binyamin, is that as society has changed, you know, where people nibble, so then there actually might be more room to be machmir. And already, at the time of the Beis Yaakov, there's such a chash. So in fact, I'm not going to go through it. If you take a look I think on your Shulchan Aruch, in some Shulchan Aruch, it's on the side, and some is in the back. You have the Sefer Yad Ephraim. So the Sefer Yad Ephraim begins to learn up different sugyas of people sitting next to each other. For example, Chulin Daf Zayin, whether we're choshesh that they're going to come to eat each other. The Gemara in Chulin talks about Kohen who's eating truma, whether you're choshesh that a zar is going to come to eat truma because he's sitting next to him, etc. He goes through many sugyas. And basically, Halach Lamaisa Yad Ephraim says it really depends on time and place, and it depends even on the person. So there are people who that you would have a chash, and then there are people that would not have a chash. But Miller pointed out the shayla would apply even to a mother who's fleshik, who's preparing her children's milchik food for the next day. Do you have to be machmer? Again, that's a wild chumrah. Rav Miller Shlita's conclusion was that at the end of the day, it's not aser midina. We don't conclude that it's aser. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's not brought down in the Gemara, etc. But it's a chachamein of Barosho. If a person knows that he's a product of today's generation, and he doesn't have structured eating times, so then in such a case, the halacha is going to be different. Yes, sure.
You were saying the problem would be because the Machaber doesn't talk about Chidabol of Ashur,
right.
But he says Yachad. He seems to be only worried about together. He doesn't talk about one after the other.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying that's a nafkamin between Rav Miller's example and the case of the Prima Gadim and the Beis Yaakov. So in a case of where a mother is very good, Rav David's pointing out that if we're talking about a mother who's preparing food for her child, so then it's not talking about people who are sitting down next to each other. That's not even the case of the Beis Yaakov. The case of the Beis Yaakov, where he was machmir, is you ate fleishiks and then you went to sit at someone's house who's eating milchiks. So then he thought that there was room for an issur. And that you're pointing out is the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch that Yovel. You're saying something different. I see. No, okay, I thought you were using Yachad in a different way. I'll restate what you said. Now I understand the omek what you said. The chashash of the Shulchan Aruch was Shelo Yovel Achlam Yachad. That the chashash of the Shulchan Aruch is you're going to come to eat basar and chalav together. In other words, mamish that you're going to come to eat them together. But you never have the chash that you were going to eat them one after each other, one after another. So therefore, the only time you're going to have the chash is at one instance where you have both basar and chalav together. Yafem od amikabel that ha'ara. That the mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch is that only if you eat biyachad. So that's what David's pointing at, is responding to Binyamin's point that even the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't fit so smoothly. The chomer doesn't fit so smoothly either. Yafem od emes lamito. Yafem. And then there's another point which I thought you were saying, and that is that Rav Miller's suggests that how far the chumrah could go is even further than the Beis Yaakov himself. The Beis Yaakov was talking about where you ate fleishiks and then you went to someone's house for a social visit and he invited you into the dining room and then he was eating milchik. So then he created this new chumrah, this possible chumrah. So Prima Godim said, lo nizar mizah, we're not machmir. But a mother preparing for her children's food and that she's fleishiks, that is would be a chumrah that's even on top of the Beis Yaakov's chumrah. Again, so the psak halach is that one from the Yad Ephraim, the way he fears ice, is that there's one does not need to be machmir, but at the end of the day, one chachamena barosha, that if you know that you're more likely to be nechshel, so in such a case, you can make kedarim for yourself, and that's what we have the story with Rav Nevin Zal. Pischei Tshuva and Sivkat and Dal, a story a couple times ago. The Pischei Tshuva continues on, and he quotes an important heter of the Masas Binyamin, which is actually subject to a lot of discussion in both the Poskim and in the Rishonim. Va'ayim b'tshuvas masas b'nyam, simen kuf yudbeis, b'emtza tshuva, d'mashma sham, d'im gam achirim ochlem al shulchan zeh, mutar af belo heker, d'zeh odif mim osu shum heker. So masas b'nyam has a new heker, and that heker is achirim ochlem imay. Achirim ochlem imay is also a heter as well. The Pischei Tshuva concludes, we'll be masbir in a moment what that means. Pischei Tshuva concludes, V'ayim emashek asafti l'kamon, simin kuf tzadi hey. Take a look at what I wrote in kuf tzadi hey. Nu, Rabosai, what's the reference? That what?
That other people care in terms of the hacker.
Oh, very good. So the Pischei Tshuva says that just like we see when it comes to Ilchos Nida, that I wrote that other people possibly could serve as a hacker, and there he quotes the name of the Masas Binyamin as well, if I'm not mistaken. He says that the same should apply here too. What is the Masas Binyamin Svara? The Masas Binyamin Svara is very simple. The Masas Binyamin Svara is that if an item like a phone and so on would serve as a hacker, so too people as well between him will also serve as a hacker. In many ways, people are better. Why would people be better? Because they could stop you. They could stop you, so then maybe people would be enough. Now, there are two things that we could be done on this particular question. In other words, the heter of the Masas Binyamin could be taken apart in a few different ways. First of all, let's do it in two different ways. Number one, what is the nature of how people are sitting? Does it have to be that we're sitting in public, okay? So let's say that I'm sitting here and Rav Miller Shlita is sitting here, right? So then, and you're all over here, right? You're over here. And I have basar and he has chalav. So is that enough? Because we're all watching each other. So that's enough that we could help each other. Or it needs to be that I have basar. Rav Miller is sitting over here, and Yosef is sitting over here. I have basar, and Yosef has gvina. And now there's someone in between us. So this is actually a big discussion in Hilchos Nida. This is a big discussion. There are some who are medayik from the Birkei Yosef, that the Birkei Yosef understands that even though you need, once you have people sitting next to each other, that's enough, but that is only if you have people sitting in between the husband and the wife when she's a nida. We discussed this when we learned Hilchos Nida. That there are some who understand this is the minig in Eretz Yisrael and Psak in terms of heker between husband and wife when there's a nida. The minig of Psak, the way Rav Miller presented it, is that it's not enough to have people sitting next to each, sitting with each other, to be sitting in public, but it needs to be that there's someone sitting between them. Others are more makel. I'll make reference to a machlokas rishonim that we had then that I think I put into a later edition of the Mar Mekomos. Yeah, it's there. That is that the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis Beis Zayin Shar Beis seems to reject the whole heter of people sitting with you. The Rajba seems to reject it entirely. So this is not only a discussion of the Chuvas Masas Binyamin, but the Rajba and the Torah's Habayis rejects a heter of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah says the heker for Hilchos Nida would be enough if you have people sitting with you, and the Rajba says that it's wrong. The Minaga Olam is to follow the Ra'ah. This is the way Rav Miller taught it, is to follow the Ra'ah with people sitting in between. In other words, if the husband and wife are sitting next to each other, then there are many poskim Eretz Yisrael who would still be machmer. But if you have someone sitting in between, then that would be enough in terms of the hekkes. So that goes back to the Machlokas Rajba Ra'ah and the Birkei Yosef in terms as far as Hilchos Nida is concerned. So it could very well be that if we say that Hilchos Basar B'chalav is going to be the same thing, so then one would suggest as follows. One would suggest that you don't need a heker if you have basar and chalav, if you have someone sitting in between you. But if you have a bunch of people sitting around, that's not going to be enough. You need a break between you and the other individual. There we're talking about in a case even where I could reach over and take from you. Nevertheless, once I have someone in between me, then according to the heter of the Pischei Tshuva, it will be mutter. That's one issue of analysis in terms of the heter of the Masas Binyamin, and that's how one would probably follow. There is another ha'ara, and this becomes a chumra, and that is that Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, when I told him this discussion, he instinctively went in this direction, as well as I saw that in the back of the highly recommended sefer, we have to tell Yoni that we should get to the Beis Medrash, and that is the Masifta's edition of Basar B'chalav. In the back, they say this on their own, they didn't say this in the name of anybody, Rav Nevin Sal Kilo was Mechavin, the same thing, is that it could very well be that the Pischei Tshuva here is a little bit problematic. Pischei Tshuva is comparing, puts one and one together, puts Hilchos Nida together with Hilchos Basar B'chalav. One could argue that Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Basar B'chalav on this topic are totally different. And that is, that husband and wife are not going to come to touch each other when there are other people around. That's not normal. So then, and Kal V'chomer, if there's someone who's sitting between them, okay? So then, you have the Heter of Achirim. Then the Ra'ah had that Heter of Achirim. But to say that the Ra'ah would be Mekel, remember, the Rajba didn't even like it in Hilchos Nida. The Rajba and the Torah Sabayis, but the Ra'ah and the Bedek Abayis likes it. But to say that that just because the Ra'ah was Mekel and Hilchos Nida, that automatically that would serve as Eker and Basar B'chalav, that might not be enough. That was Rav Nevin Sal's Lashon. Ulai B'Basar B'chalav Ein Zeh Maspik Heker. Even though the Pischei Tshuva is beferish against this, now, Rav Nevin Sal wasn't so excited about this heter of the Pischei Tshuva. He thought that there was a lot of room to be mechalek. Okay, this year has been a little bit shorter. We could go on and begin Simen Peites. Let's just finish up. But you know what? Well, I think my radar tells me that we'll stop and we'll start Peites on Monday. Let's just finish up Be'ezer Hashem. It's not an aveira to have a shorter shir, right? Bal Tigra. So let's just finish up with this Ramah. Yes, Jacob.
Both parties need to be aware of the hecker.
What's that?
Both parties need to be aware of the hecker.
Do both parties, in Hilchos Nida?
Here.
Here. In Hilchos Nida, the answer is yes. Over here, do both parties need to be aware of the hecker? If it's a guy, the answer would be no.
Right.
If it's a Jew, then each one, his halacha needs to. But what happens if you're sitting a Jew with an irreligious Jew? You don't have to use this as a time to preach to him. You know? In other words, talk to him about Hilchos Kashrus the right way, not... So then it will be only important for you. If you see that he's going to come to me nichshak by taking your basar and he's eating chalav, then that will be a different story. Speaking of, I keep on saying basar and chalav. Just want to point out something quite interesting, which is lahalacha v'na l'maisa, lahagdol Torah l'agdir. Notice the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. Every single Maram Makom that we've discussed has always said basar im vina. There are, you should know as a snif to be mekel, there are those who argue, I don't remember who, that this doesn't apply to chalav. It only applies basar and gvina. It's a massive kula. There are on the books, it's hakamashna that way. The Gemara and so on. Doesn't say anything about chalav. Is it a coincidence that every single time it's discussed gvina, there is such a shita on the books as a snif lahatir? It's something you should be aware of. But we don't follow this lahalach. We're machmir, especially today, the times that people usually end up being, often, where people end up being most nichshal is with the chalav, that they forget that they're fleishiks. Obviously here, as Rav David points out, the yisur is biyachad, but because chalav is so pervasive, it's the minig is to be machmir, but you should know if on the books, and as a good rav, every once in a while, you might need to use this as a sniff lahatir. So it's important to know. I don't remember who it was that I saw it. I remember I was excited to see it, because I remember the Gemara. I didn't remember the Rav's name. I remember the Gemara that the Gemara itself, and the Shulchan Aruch itself, it seems to be that's generally Gvina. Yes, I...
What's the Svara for that? Why should it be different between Chalav and Gvina?
What would, of the Diuk? I think in those days, what was most common... Well, first of all, what was Milchiks? Let's just take a step back. Generally, you know, it's a different world. You know, once upon a time, people ate meat, and they ate cheese and fish. So fish we've taken care of already, okay? And people didn't eat that much milk. Why? Who could tell me why? Why did people have so much milk? Because there's no refrigeration, there's no pasteurization, etc., etc. So immediately what happened? You ran, the moment you got a little bit of milk, you ran to the intestine, you ran to the cava, and you immediately turned it into cheese. Derech Agav, Reb Tzvi told me that he knows people in Itamar, who are cheese makers, and they're too busy prior to Yom Tov making cheese for all of Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov itself, but they said it'll be their pleasure to give us a tour of how you make cheese in Itamar, for those who are interested. I guess, part of me is also interested. But that's the answer. So once upon a time, there wasn't a lot of milk. It's not like today you had milk all the time. Milk was, what was milk? You milked the cow at 5 o'clock, and then you had it at 7. But after that, anything that was left, you immediately made into cheese. So generally, that was...
Maybe.
Something like that. You could argue in such a sheet. That's a reason to be machmir today. Because today, it's a totally different ballgame when it comes to milk. Let's conclude the Ramah. V'yu zihirim shlo lishtos m'kli echad shum shamaychol nidbat b'kli v'kol shekein shlo yochol mipas echad. They should you should be careful that not to use one kli that's shared by someone who's eating both basar and chalav, because the maichel is going to be get touched. V'chein nogin liyachei kli shel melach v'kol echad b'fnei atzma ki d'palmin tovlin b'melach v'nisharu shiur maichel b'pach. And therefore, when it comes to salt shakers, you should have two separate salt somethings, salt utensils. Why do I correct the word shakers? So let's read the Ramah's words carefully. In Rabbi Forst's book, I don't know if I got the Mar Mokum right, the page right, but in Rabbi Forst's book, I'm quite positive. Rabbi Forst highly recommends, my mother-in-law, may she be well, is quite machmer on this as well, to have two different salt shakers, one for basar, one for chalav. Rabbi Forst is mefalpel in regards to the salt shaker. Might inadvertently, you might have touched the meat, etc., etc. You should have two different salt shakers. And of course, when you get involved with sugi of zeya and the sugi of recha, all of those things, it might be a reason to have two separate salt shakers. I want to point out that the Ramah doesn't say this. The Ramah is not talking about today's salt shakers. The Ramah's salt shakers that he's discussing are what some in many Hasidim they don't have salt shakers for the salt. They put you have like a kli, a small utensil in which you put the chal in. So once upon a time, that was what they used to put the meat in. They would put it in. I don't know whether a salt shaker wasn't invented in the time of the Ramah. That would be a fascinating study. But either way, salt shakers weren't what the Ramah was describing. Therefore, Ibn Evin Sal Shlita told me that Me'ikr Dedina, the Ramah is not talking about that case. Ibn Evin Sal, lots of kulas and salt shakers. Ibn Evin Sal said that Me'ikr Dedina, there isn't a requirement to have two separate salt shakers. If your mother-in-law has one, you should respect it and honor it. Ashrecha. But at the end of the day, there isn't a chiyuv, Me'ikr Dedina, to have it. But, of course, if it was dipping in, so then in such a case, the halacha would be different. Okay, we'll finish here. Be'ezer Hashem, we'll pick up next week on Monday with Simon Peites. L'hagdol Torah L'adim Rav Matov U'manoim if you do Kachal. But I would recommend you begin already Simon Sadi Aleph and others. Don't wait for me to finish Simon Peites. Get ahead of me. Get ahead of me and start already Sadi Aleph, Sadi Beis. Our work is really going to start, Mirtzah Hashem, once we get to Sadi Aleph, Sadi Beis.